Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You're going to be glad you did, because we got our good buddy Tim Berry back with us. Tim is an original member of our Brain Trust. Already had our 11th anniversary with Tim, as with him being a member of our Brain Trust. He is the world's expert on business planning. He's the founder of Palo Alto Software, which is the outstanding company that produces Business Plan Pro. And he's the author of so many books, I couldn't carry all of them at once. But more importantly, he's my good friend, and whether you know it or not, he's your good friend. Tim Berry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be back with you.
It's good to have you back. And also, folks, he is the patriarch of an outstanding American family-owned business story. And it's great to see that to hear. I know some of you have heard Tim's story, the second generation business that being managed now. Children and it's a great American success story. Tim, one of the things you've been doing lately, you've been working on some angel investor issues. I know you've joined an angel investor group and you've become an angel investor. And in a time like this, when we've got a lot of small business owners are having challenges acquiring capital, talk to us about angel investors.
Well, I'll tell you, Jim. For me, it's a really fun kind of going to the other side, because I've spent a career as entrepreneur. I've been involved in companies getting investment. I've been counselor to companies getting investment. And as you said, and thank you for that, I've spent a lot of years helping people do business plans as a tool to help them get investment. And now just this spring, turning the tables, I joined an angel investment group, which means sitting and reading business plans, evaluating business plans, listening to pitches, talking to the people in charge, and actually to put the money into one company as opposed to another. And that's fascinating. That's a great sort of coming around the full circle in my career.
So let's talk about a couple of scenarios here. One scenario is probably the classic scenario where I, as a business owner, approach somebody I know who may have some money to invest. I tell them about my idea, about my business. I show them a business plan, and that person makes a decision like they would, you know, like they would invest in anything, and they say yes or they say no. But what you just described is a consortium, so to speak, isn't of people who are investors who come together and sort of. You're like a variation of venture capitalists.
Well, what we did, and I think there's a lot more of this going around in the country than I realize as I find out more about this. This is an angel investment group. So in this case, there were 25 people who came together as part of a business development program. We then reviewed 43 plans. Down to 13. We heard the presentations, and at the end of a period of about 3 months, we sponsored an event in which the five remaining finalists gave their pitch. A couple hundred people came. I say business development because the thing was.
When you say a couple hundred people came, are you saying it became a spectator sport?
Yes. This was called the Willamette Angel Conference, and
wow. That's
what I'm saying. There's going around, there's four or five of these in Oregon where I live, and as I discover through a website business called angels.net, there's something like 400, 500 of these groups. So I don't, you know, I'm not that wealthy. I can contribute as part of a group. And then the group decides on one investment rather than me just listening to your pitch and deciding. I have the safety and strength of numbers as 25 of us agree this is the company we're going to invest in. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's an event, spectators come after all the pitches, and there's lunch and there's speeches. We go back in the back room and do some voting and decide which one is going to get the money.
How, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, this is fascinating stuff, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? I really appreciate Tim's his wisdom. I don't know too many people, ladies and gentlemen, who could be a better angel investor than Tim Berry, and it's great to have him to come and tell us this story. He's going to give us some more information. I'm going to keep asking him some questions about this great experience, and we'll be right back after these messages. Tweet him. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, and here's Mr. Richard Pennyman to bring us back.
Good golly, Miss Molly, sure likes the ball.
You know him as Little Richard.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
He's still rocking after all these years. Welcome back, and I'm glad you're here. My website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. We built it just for you. We got thousands of archives of past interviews that we've done, including the entire body of work. I say entire, maybe the first year or so that Tim Berry was with us. We might have lost those. Those are the lost archives. But since 1999, what Tim Berry's done with us is right there on our website, and so you can go back and listen. These are timeless pieces of wisdom that Tim has deposited with us, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the things we talked about with Tim are still, everything is still valid, I can promise you. So I hope you'll check those out. Read the articles that I've written or my Brain Trust members have written. My blog is there. My recent post is how General Motors bankruptcy could be a cautionary tale for small businesses. And of course, my knowledge base, Ask Jim, and subscribe to my newsletter. I hope you'll do all that. So check it out. It's all free, just for you. Tim Berry is our guest, as I said, and he's the founder of Palo Alto Software, the author of a lot of books. Tim, you were talking about your angel investor experience with this angel group consortium. Continue to talk to us about how this went.
Well, the process is it starts in February, where invitations go out over the web and through the community that we're receiving plans. That closes by the 15th, and then we met about half a day each week for throughout April, reviewing these plans, inviting to come to these meetings and give us 10-minute presentations, followed by questions and answers, followed by discussion with us. And as we narrowed the group down, then we did due diligence phase, meaning we divided into teams, and groups of us looked at their legal papers and called their customers and worked through as much as we could, getting to know the ins and outs of these businesses.
Did every person who submitted a plan have a viable business, or were there some proposed startups?
To tell you the truth, there was nothing that hadn't started at all.
Was that a specification that you required?
They had to have already been incorporated.
Okay. There had to have been at least a going business, if not a viable business.
Yeah, and I say incorporated. That could be LLC or professional. You know. But
an official business. But listen, you can be incorporated and not have any customers. You're required that these people have actually
bought the
marketplace.
They were required to have revenue.
Okay.
So some of them were very early.
Okay, that was my question. Okay, I got it.
But they had their people together and they had their plan together. Varying stages of early. If they had already received venture capital, then they weren't eligible.
Right, right. So the entire universe for, and as you say, there are hundreds of these consortiums around the country. There's one in my community and I know the guys who are involved in that one. And this is where people, you know, may come in, they may put up $5,000, $10,000. You aggregate that with 25 or 50 other people, and you got a, you know, you got $100, $200, $300 potentially to invest in one or more businesses. That's kind of the, I'm thinking of the universe, or the, I should say, the whole pie of a consortium like this. I'm trying to give our audience, Tim, an idea about, you know, if you put a proposal to one of these groups, this is the kind of scenario you're looking at.
Yes, very much. And what we think is a small piece of ownership in this company that...
How much? And I'm not talking about specifically yours, but in your opinion, in general... Venture capitalist.
Well, actually, and it was posted on the web, so I can talk about specifically in this case, we get convertible debt that's converted into ownership at a discount of 10% over the price that venture capital buys in. So we're choosing a company that we feel is likely to get venture capital in the future, and we're trusting that in the negotiation between them and the venture capital, they'll come up with a price that we can. And they've then committed to us before the venture capital that we'll get equity at that price less a 10% discount.
So you're saying that that you didn't put your money in as capital, you put it in as debt?
Convertible debt.
And, but it's still debt. It's still debt with the expectation of a yield on that debt. Is that right?
Yes and no. If those companies tank, nobody's going to be collecting that debt.
It's sort of non-recourse then, isn't it?
Yes, it's a debt. It's actually, it isn't sort of.
It is not.
Yeah, it's.
That means if you aren't able to pay it back, nobody's going to come knocking on your door.
Well, non-recourse in that there is no collateral whatsoever, and there's no personal guarantees behind it. If the company lives forever but never gets venture capital, then the debt can be called by the. And it can actually act as if it were debt, and they have to pay it back.
I see what you're saying. Okay,
if they just tank, then we lose the money. If they go big, it converts into ownership, not debt.
I see. All right, that makes a lot of sense. So, folks, you're starting to see, and the good thing about this, see, when the venture capitalists come in, when the big guys come in, you know, with $5 million or $50 million, they're not going to take... Tim, they're going to they're going to take stock. They're going to take 51% or something like that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought, Tim. We're going to be right back, folks. He's going to tell us who won, who got the money, and why right after these messages. Tim Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Got a black magic.
Welcome back. It's a little heart bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Tim Berry, the founder of Palo Alto Software. Bplans.com. That's still a great site for people to go to and learn more about business planning, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Bplans.com is still the largest business plan site in the world, which is entirely free, 500 sample plans. My blog is on Bplans.com, too. It's definitely a site that I can recommend. With
well, it is, and it's not the site where they're gonna try to sell you stuff, folks. I mean, you can have the opportunity to look at their products, but this is all about you and teaching you how to do a better job of business planning, especially if you're going to try to go for any kind of capital from an investor, angel investors, or venture capital, or your banker. You know, that kind of money too. So. Check it out, bplans.com, and also timberry.com, right, Tim?
Yes.
Check those out, folks. Tim's a smart guy. You don't want to be very far away from the wisdom that Tim distributes. I know I don't. Tim, we're talking about your angel investor consortium that you guys put together. You started out with 40 or 50 plans. You narrowed it down to five. They made their presentation. You decided on one. Think about this. It's 40 or 50. All those got weeded out down one company. If you decide to make an investment, why did you choose that?
Boy, it was hard. I'll tell you, it's hard to reconstruct because we really narrowed those 43 plans down to five or six that I would have been happy to see win. There were some really good companies, and in the end, it was really a matter of I don't know, between the 25 of us who voted, it's hard to say this particular one won, but the one that won was called Center Space Software. It has mathematical add-on routines for programming in .NET, and they're working on some things related to the Amazon cloud. A small software company with a very interesting domination of a relatively small market and very convincing people who know their business backward and forward and upside down were themselves really convincing, that I think won the day, but just barely, because, boy, we saw some good companies.
Was the vote? I mean,
It took five votes, and the last vote, which was then narrowed down to only two companies, was only one vote difference between the final two.
Wow.
It took a while. It was hard.
That's too close, isn't it?
And there was no tension. It was fun in that room with the other people involved. It wasn't acrimonious or angry, right, but there's a lot of discussion because we had really good companies to consider, and some of us liked some more than the others, and it was hard to see any of them eliminated.
Well, the good news, the ones who didn't win, is because you guys gave them the opportunity to harden their skills at not only seeking capital, but to taking a look at themselves, to taking a critical look at themselves, which is important for every business, isn't it?
And yes, and we gave them a lot of feedback about what was and what we saw as strengths and weaknesses. And yes, they had the opportunity to pitch in front of a larger crowd in the final, and most of those companies, probably all of those companies, will get financed by angel investors within the
I was going to say they'll be the better for it. In fact, I'll be honest with you, Tim, I could see where the second or third or fourth company that didn't make it, where they would actually look back because of experience, and because it would make them go to the next level, they could actually look back and say, man, I'm glad I didn't get that first money.
Huh, that's interesting. That could happen. I'm in regular correspondence with one of them that I particularly liked that didn't win, and sort of following their progress, and it's a company. I'm sure they're going to do very well.
Yeah. Tim, advice for somebody listening right now who would like to get some angel money, like to find some capital. I've got seconds. What's your advice?
Make sure you plan. Do your business plan well. And of course you're going to change it. Keep it flexible, but know the answer to every question that an angel investor might ask. And don't look and, you know, roll your eyes. Have a plan.
Is that list that of questions somewhere?
No, it's different
you
for every company.
You should do that, Tim.
Yeah.
Some homework, Tim. Would you take care of that for me?
All right.
Hey, Tim, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
You bet. Thank you, Jim.
Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, it's official. It has been for a long time. He is the best. I got to go for today. Tomorrow, I'll be back to regular, back in my home environs. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you then.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.